The Pewter Nation podcast is presented by Westshore Financial, the official financial sponsors of PewterReport.com. For life insurance, investment, and retirement strategies, Westshore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you plan for the future and protect your family's finances. Call Chris at 813-434-0037 for a free, no-obligation conversation today. And now, get ready for the new Pewter Nation podcast.
I saw a werewolf with a Chinese menu in his hand, walking through the streets of Soho in the rain. He was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks, gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein.
Welcome, PewterReport readers and listeners, to another edition of the Pewter Nation podcast. You probably know by now that I am not Mark Cook, and me introducing the podcast means that Mark Cook is not here. Mark and Scott are still over in London. They're lollygagging their way back to America after watching the Buccaneers debacle that was their quote-unquote home matchup against the Carolina Panthers. So instead, I'm Trevor Sikkema. With me is Matt Matera and Taylor Jenkins. We're coming at you from three different angles today. It's a trio. Is there like a certain name for a trio that I'm forgetting? That
I need to menage be a trois.
Yeah, I was going to say, not any that I can think of that are appropriate. But.
You know, I didn't want to say we're bringing you the threesome podcast, but I guess, you know, since Matt already pulled it out.
The old three-way.
Someone had to do it.
Yeah, that's true. Look, man, I asked. So I opened it up. I was hoping you guys had a little bit more suggestions, but I guess we're just going purely sexual to start out the beginning of this podcast.
It's a triple threat match.
Something needs to excite these people after watching what they saw on Sunday. Sunday morning, in fact. You know, we had to wake up early. You know, it wasn't too bad, actually, because we had free alcohol.
Yeah, that helped.
That'll get me up in the morning.
That was great.
Coffee when you can drink beer at 9 o'clock in the morning.
That was a great party at Yeoman's, wasn't it?
It was actually a ton of fun. Yeah.
It was incredible. So many fans showed up. My parents surprised me and came from Florida.
Your parents were there.
Your dad looks like,
Robert De Niro.
Robert De Niro. It's kind of crazy. He walked up and was like, oh my God, it's a thin Robert De Niro. And you're like, that's my dad.
Dude, there were.
Yeah, I've actually heard that before. People have said that. So,
there were.
Yeah, hopefully I look like that when I get older.
There were so many Bucks fans at Yeoman's. Everybody, the mood, the vibe in the place going into the game was so high. Yeah, I know that the team kind of let them down as the game went on. You guys were there a little bit longer than I was, but I gotta say, for when I was there beforehand and at the beginning of the game, like, there were chants going on. I know Matt was trying to get some chants and everything going. There were some people playing along with them, but there were that was so much fun having all those people out at Yeoman's.
Because the turnout was, I mean, really well. I mean, the turnout was really good, and a lot of people showed up. And it was funny watching the kind of essence change from the excitement of being up at 9:30 and getting free beer and eating breakfast and getting ready for this big game on, you know, on national TV to like the end kind of after you had left, where like Bucks fans are throwing their hats on the ground and the chants have turned to like hands slamming on the table and glasses clinking and the beer has been poured and consumed and you could just feel the energy and just get really heavy in the room as Jameis Winston continued to turn the ball over.
Well,
every time it was just like a further stage of Dante's.
Hold on. Before we get into that, I do have to say a word from our presenting sponsor, Chris Garrido over at Westshore Financial. Before we get into that Bucks talk, we'll get into it because I felt bad interrupting you, but we got to make sure that we give Chris a big shout out.
Do it. Mark's not here.
Dude, we got to give Chris the big shout out. All right, boys. I'm not going to set it up quite the way that Mark does. But to ask you a question, say you two died today. You guys have enough life insurance to protect your family, to pay off your house? I know you guys own houses. You know, you're well advanced into your young adulthood. Credit card debt. Make sure your kids, I'm talking to you, Matt, have tuition to go to college. Make sure your spouse doesn't struggle. That's neither you two. You guys are living the bachelor life. But other people out there, could be for them. West Shore Financial's Chris Garrido can help you guys. Let's say you don't die. Let's say you live until you're 80. You retire at 65. Do you guys have enough money for retirement, income for 15 years of unemployment? Because that's honestly what it really is. We here at Peterport have known Chris for over a decade. I know Scott is really close to Chris as well. I know he takes care of all his retirement. He's a life insurance guy. He can definitely be yours too. You guys got to give Chris a call for any of your retirement or life insurance needs over at West Shore Financial, 813-434-0037. You can call Chris at any time. Well, probably not at any time. Normal business hours, that'll probably do it. But hey,
yeah, that works.
It's a free phone call, absolutely no obligation. Just have a conversation with him, and who knows, maybe he could really help you out, make sure you have a brighter future. So make sure you give Chris a call over at West Shore Financial. Big shout out to him for being the presenting sponsor of this Pewter Nation podcast. All right, boys. Got to get into it. Biggest takeaway of this game is what, Matt? Go.
The biggest takeaway is I don't know who played worse, the entire offensive line or just Jameis Winston himself. Big I mean, fact. For all the turnovers that Jameis Winston had, he had 5 interceptions. He fumbled the ball twice. One was recovered by Carolina. For all the mistakes that he made, I mean, he had pressure in his face from beginning to end. And I know the Panthers have one of the best pass rushes in the game, but Jameis had no time to do anything, and because of that, he panicked, and that really led to a lot of his turnovers. I watched a lot of, growing up in New York, I watched a lot of bad football, a lot of bad New York Jet football.
Yeah.
The butt fumble, things like that. This game today at 9:30 in the morning may have been the worst football game I have ever watched in my lifetime.
The most concerning part about what you were just talking about there with Winston is that when the going gets tough and Winston's got to play hero ball, he often does not do what you want him to do. Like, he tries too hard. You know, you can think of the best quarterbacks who have ever played the game. When the lights get brightest, when the pressure mounts, when your back's against the wall, none of them turn into tryhards. Like, they don't turn into these guys who have to try harder to make it happen.
Yeah.
It just flows for
them.
They
just
do it. They're natural. It's almost like they calm down more, right?
When Tom Brady's down 28-3, he's not pressing.
Absolutely not. And it just seems like Jameis Winston, when pressure is at its biggest, he presses the hardest. And that's not good. And I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine, and we were talking about, what do they do now? Because for so long, even the biggest Jameis defenders have said, just give him time. Give him an offensive line. Give him weapons. Give him a new coach. Give him a defense. Jameis Winston blew that game. I understand the offensive line was bad, and it's hard to make anything happen for as much pressure as they were getting. But it wasn't what it needed to be from Winston's side. And that's the problem, is that if you even take away the excuses, which are valid and have been valid for this franchise for a long time, the offensive line has not been what it's needed to be. The secondary and the defense has been bad over the years. Sometimes they have needed more weapons for him. If you take all of that away, Winston still has not been what you've needed him to be.
Well, and today was another example. It was like an extra circumstance, because a lot of times you look at it and you go, Jameis Winston, I mean, you look at Jameis Winston over the past 3 weeks, he's been one of, if not the best quarterback in the NFL in his last 3 performances. But then it comes down to a game like this, and you look at it and you go, Jameis Winston was not just the reason they didn't win the game. It wasn't a big turnover on a final drive where he had to run down the field and score the game winning touchdown. He was so bad, he didn't even give them a chance to be in the game. This wasn't like he had 2 interceptions, no touchdowns, you're down by 4 in the fourth quarter with a minute and a half left, and you need him to drive down the field, and he throws a pick 6 against the 49ers. He threw 5 interceptions. He lost a fumble. He turned the ball over 6 times.
Jesus, 6 times.
It wasn't even like he didn't give the Bucs a chance to win. He didn't give the Bucs a chance to compete. And that's when things are really, really bad.
What's crazy to me, too, is all training camp, Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, they've worked with Jameis on getting the ball out quick, making snap decisions, moving the ball fast. And then all of a sudden he gets into the game and he just, I said panic before, he panics, he gets frenetic. And it's like he almost just forgot everything that he had practiced and learned about in training camp and even during the season of practice, and kind of just goes out there and freestyles it again. It's almost like back in the day in college or high school where you have a project to work on, a presentation, and you go to present it in front of the class. You got your index cards in front of you. Mm-hmm. You're getting ready to read off the PowerPoint or the index card. And then right as you're about to start, you just go, you know what? Screw it. I'm just going to do it off the fly. That's what I feel like when I watch James.
That's it. Do it live.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he's doing.
I mean, that's a decent way to put it. And when I continually have this conversation with people, I just have to go back to the fact, like, James just is who he is at this point. This is exactly the guy that he was when he was at Florida State. Now, I am not saying that Jameis Winston has not improved since he's come in the league. I do think that he's improved.
Yes. We saw that earlier in the season that I think he's better.
Correct.
Than he was. He's been at his best this season.
But the hot and cold, the when your back's against the wall, you're just hucking it and chucking it. That's exactly who Jameis Winston was at Florida State. And guess what? It really worked out that one year. That one year when Florida State's roster was better than everybody else's, Jameis Winston could just throw up 50-50 passes and his guys would come down with it. He did some good things, but he threw 40 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. That year has forever been the outlier of efficiency for Jameis Winston. He's never been that efficient ever. For an entire season,
And we've seen the good Jameis and the bad Jameis. And the bad Jameis, when he is at his worst, is far worse than when you get Jameis Winston at his absolute best, if that makes sense.
I think the most concerning thing about the Jameis Winston stuff, and we can get into the rest of the team, and we will during this podcast, is that when you talked about good Jameis there, and this is the big thing that has made me I don't want to say a skeptic, but it's held me back from thinking that Jameis could really be the Buccaneers guy. It's the fact that even if you get good Jameis, even if you take away the hot and cold, and let's say that you even get more hot than you get cold, you know that cold is coming. He's never going to be Drew Brees. He's never going to be Tom Brady. He's never going to be even like Carson Wentz, sometimes Matt Ryan when he's been playing as well as he's not going to be those quarterbacks that can string all these wins together. And so when you get into the playoffs, you got to string them together. Would you trust Jameis Winston to win 3 playoff games for you in a row? I wouldn't. Hell no. When has he ever shown that in his career that he's been able to do that? And the thing that it comes down to once you have that conversation, especially this offseason when it comes to him being a free agent, if he is not a guy who can get you the big one, why is he your quarterback? What are you doing? And so that's my big question with Jameis Winston is that I don't think that Jameis Winston can't play well. We've seen him play well. We've seen him play incredible. We've seen him make some awesome throws. But if you ask me if I've any faith in him to be able to do it for 4 games in a row in the playoffs, whether it's a wild card team or 3 games in a row in the playoffs, if they, let's say, win the division, I don't. I don't have that faith. He's never showed me that he can be that consistent against good teams for that long.
Well, and people, when you look at fans and what they talk about, especially in games like today, they go, he's a dumb quarterback. He's a dumb quarterback. He's not. And that's what I think is so perplexing to me watching him over his 5-year career is that when you look at like a franchise quarterback and what you want out of them, he's good with the media. He's good with the community. When you listen to him talk, you feel his energy. There's never been anyone who said anything about him that would denote anything less than the hardest worker they've ever been around. When you listen to scouts coming out of college, when you listen to GMs that interviewed him, when you listen to coaches that have coached with him, when you put him in front of a whiteboard, he's brilliant. Mm-hmm. He's not a dumb quarterback. He's not a dumb person.
He's not a bad franchise quarterback, but there's something that I just can't explain. I've never seen a quarterback with the work ethic he has, the talent he has, the NFL and just smarts of the game and quarterback position, and then gets into a game, kind of like you said, Matt, and it's just like everything goes out the window to a level that I literally can't explain. Can you think of a quarterback that's had this level of football smarts, natural ability, and work ethic that has the problems that he has?
Well, I mean, I think that you can point to certain quarterbacks who, like, over time have struggled. Like, I would say that, like, Ben Roethlisberger is kind of like Jameis. But, like, Ben Roethlisberger has his seasons, then obviously, like, where he's on fire. And he's been much more consistently good than the bad.
Exactly. I mean,
we've seen Matt Ryan have really good seasons. He's also had bad seasons. But the thing is that he can string them long enough together to give you a good season. Jameis might give you a couple weeks, but he's never been able to string it together for a season. And I get that we could talk about him being young in terms of relative age, but he ain't young in terms of experience. This is fifth year in the league. So how much would you trust him now as opposed to – what if he gets in the playoffs for the first time when he was like 28? Quarterbacks have said that they bud more when they're in their late 20s, early 30s. That's when it all comes together. But how much more can the Bucks wait around to think that he's going to be their guy? That's a tough thing for me to swallow. So
yeah.
Go ahead, Matt. No, I was done. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, so just to add on top of that, so Bruce Arians said in his post-game press conference, and we pretty much nailed it before too, where – Bruce Arians literally said, you don't have to be Superman. Stop trying to be Superman. But Jameis just still makes these plays that are just inexcusable.
It's the third coach. That's the third head coach that has said this to him now. Different offensive coordinators, different head coaches, different quarterbacks coaches.
If he was throwing interceptions at Florida State, Jimbo Fisher would have said it too.
He's looking at double-digit coaches that have all told him the same thing. And we're at year – if you go back to Florida State, we're at year 7 now of coaches telling him the same thing.
Yeah, and just those plays at the end of the second quarter where you fumble back-to-back times, that is just inexcusable that he fumbled on the second play. You literally just got hit and lost the ball.
You were at the 10-yard line.
And now you're at the 10-yard line. You're at least – even if you don't convert there, you're at least going to kick a field goal, make it a one-possession game. And the fact that you fumble the ball again when you're rolling to the sideline, you could easily just throw it away. It wouldn't be intentional grounding. Or you could run forward, maybe get a couple of yards. At worst, you get no gain. But the fact that you lose the ball again on a second straight play by the same guy that just hit you on the play before, I don't care how bad the offensive line is, and I don't care if you're a rookie, a 10-year veteran. It doesn't matter. That's just a play that's inexcusable.
It really is. Guys, before we get on to the defense, I gotta make this announcement. All right. I have another podcast that I do, the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. And every Thursday we go through the week's NFL games, but we do it by looking at the opening lines. And we almost make our bets on the games as we make our predictions. I don't know about you guys, but a game is 10 times more exciting for me when I'm putting money on it. When I'm looking at the spreads and I'm putting some money on it, when I've got a gut feeling, when I make a prediction, and it rewards me. All right. Regardless of if you've never bet before, or if you've been betting for years, where I go every time that we do that podcast is if I'm putting money on a team, I'm going to mybookie.ag. It's a great place to bet. You obviously, hey, if you know who's going to win, why not put some money on the line, right? Pro football, college football, heck, MLB playoffs, NHL's coming into swing, basketball's around the corner. This is the place if you want to put any kind of bets on it, whether you're betting the spread, whether you're betting the over-unders, you can throw some parlays in there, try to risk and win some serious money. That can all happen over at mybookie.ag. So if you go there, use the promo code PEWTER. What they will do is they will match your initial deposit. So let's say you put $100 in, you can have $200 to gamble. So it's free money. You know, I'm just saying, if you guys know, you guys talk to us on Twitter and in the comments all the time. You guys think you know all this stuff. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you. We do that all the time too. I love having an opinion. That's the best part of sports. But
I personally know everything, but
some, but you know, if you're like Taylor and you know everything, why not profit off of it? Head over to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code Pewter. They'll match whatever your deposit in. You play, you win, you get paid. Go get paid. I don't know if anybody on this secondary should be getting paid at this point, boys.
Oh, because not at all.
It's not going great. And I got it, man, I wrote my cover 3 last week, and it was about the secondary. And I explained in it how I believe that every starting position that they have in the secondary right now, well, corners, I'll say corners, is playing or is being asked to play a level above what their talent actually is. I don't think that Vernon Hargreaves is a CB1 in this league. He's just not. But they're asking him to play CB1 because they don't have anybody else. Carlton Davis is long. He's a taller, more physical corner. But he's a liability when it comes to keeping up with faster wide receivers. So how much of a CB2 is he? Jamil Dean, okay, yes, he's got both the size and the speed to make it happen, but the dude's got no knees. You know, I hope he plays in this league for 10, 12 years and has a ton of success, but you always got to think of that in the back of your head, especially that he's already been banged up this year. Sean Murphy Bunting does not look like he's ready to play NFL football. And MJ Stewart, though he's been better this year, he's a physical kind of guy. He can't keep up with those shifty players in the slot, especially the guys that we saw Carolina roll out this week. It's just, I talked about how Patrick Peterson's probably the only solution I have because going to get Patrick Peterson allows this team to bump everybody down a phase more towards where their talent level is. But man, I don't even, is Patrick Peterson even worth it at this point? What do you guys think the solution is? Maybe not even this year. If you think there's a solution this year, let's hear it. But if not, then let's talk long-term what your long-term plan might be for helping out this secondary.
Well, one of the fans came over to us after the game, to me and Matt.
In tears.
We had a couple that were damn near in tears. We had one guy who I think I saw him throw his hat on the ground about 6 times today.
Yeah, that guy was
granted the beer was flowing, but he came over to us and he just sat down at the table with us and looked at us and goes, "Is the season over?" And I think Matt and I both kind of hesitated. And at 2-4, no, the season's not over. You said it on the last podcast, if at 3-4, if you think the season is over at 3-4, then what are you doing coaching in the NFL? If you think the season's over at 3-4, and at 2-4, you are extremely behind the eight ball, especially when you already have 2 divisional losses. You are extremely behind the eight ball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I said on the last podcast, we cannot even, I don't even think there's a point. Some of these guys, Sean Murphy Bunting is not ready to play. Jamel Dean has been hurt. He is probably not ready to play. Carlton Davis was thrown in last year, and he was kind of fed to the wolves and had to start opposite Brent Grimes all season. And he really didn't have a good season, but I think for being a rookie who was put in his position, he had a decent season. This season, it's to the point where I know he's still young, and it's a really hard position to kind of get a grasp on. But if you ask me right now, Carlton Davis is not good. If you ask me right now, Vernon Hargreaves is not good.
Yeah, MJ, I agree with that one.
Is not good. And
I feel like
there's a point I said last week. Sorry, Matt, real quick, just one more point. Where I said last week,
don't apologize. Don't be soft like the secondary.
Yeah, I'm not soft. Hard as heck. Here we go. So you just, there's a point where you have to get someone who is good, and you can't, you're past the point of being able to risk it on rookies. You're past the point of trying to develop a secondary, because I'm just going to come out and say it. This roster is not that far away. The defensive line is good. They're struggling with pass rush, but they have a lot of talent. Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, Shaq Barrett, Carl Nassib. Even Nacho is a good player. You have Lavonte David. Devin White had a little struggles today, but he hasn't played hardly at all this season. He's a rookie, led the team in tackles. Jordan Whitehead, I know he got hurt, and he's a second-year guy, but he has played really well this year. Granted, not necessarily in coverage, but for what he's tasked with doing as a strong safety, he's done it really well. He's been sideline to sideline. He's a sure tackler. But like, there's a point where you can't just go. You have offensive weapons. Your offensive line has played really, really improved this year, and I know they had some injuries today. But
yeah,
they
you can't fault too many injuries, you know. It is,
yeah,
it is.
I agree.
Josh Wells shouldn't be starting against Brian Burns. It is what it is.
Yeah, you look top to bottom. This roster is not that far away, but the secondary cannot stop anyone. the Carolina has some speed in there with Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore. You got Greg Olsen. He's a veteran, but they are not exactly what I would call a top tier wide receiver core, and they couldn't do anything. Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to do anything against anyone. Sterling Shepard's the top wide receiver in New York, and they shredded them. You have to go out, whether it's this season, whether it's in the offseason, and you have to bring in a veteran. We brought out Patrick Peterson. That doesn't necessarily have to be the guy, but you have to bring in someone good because that's the glaring, glaring weakness top to bottom as a unit in a roster that I really don't think is that far away from winning and maybe not that far away from the playoffs.
What do you think, Matt?
I feel like it's Groundhog's Day all over again. I mean, we talk every single week about the secondary. They just don't have it. The secondary, they can't stop people. But there's, like, no denying it. That's clearly the top story in terms of what the issue is for the defense. And I know Scott's big on this, that the big solution is, oh, yeah, we'll just give Jamel Dean more playing time. Like, that's just going to fix everything? What, because he's fast? Oh, big deal. There's other fast people in the league. It doesn't make them good. As far as a solution, I mean,
go after him, Matt.
As far as a solution, yeah, it'd be great to have Patrick Peterson, but you're only going to get him for half the season. How much are you willing to give up to get a player for half a season? So, yeah, I mean,
well, I think the mindset there is that they owe Vernon $9 million next year,
right? Yeah,
and instead you would just put it to Peterson. So
yeah, so another thing is you can look for a free agent in the offseason, but the Bucs salary cap is not going to be easy to deal with because you got to decide whether or not you're going to pay Jameis. You're going to try to lock up Shaq Barrett. You're going to try to lock up Carl Nassib. And right now, the secondary is just getting bullied. And that's, I think, the key with the perfect way to describe them is they're getting bullied out right there. And I think part of the issue, too, as bad as secondary has been, I'm a little concerned about this pass rush as well, because outside of, I was about to say Sack Barrett, but he's cooled off the last two games.
Do it, go off, Shaq
Barrett, they're not getting really any production in terms of actually getting a sack. I know Carl Nassib had a sack today, but Shaq Barrett's responsible for like 85% of the sacks that the Bucs have had this year. They're just not getting to the quarterback. They're pressuring him here and there, but they're always just a second too late.
The league gets the ball out of the quarterback's hands so fast now.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
I know it's tough, but you look on the other side of the ball, James is getting sacked 7 times in a game. So,
you know, that's
it's
a great
not
point.
Something that is insurmountable that they can't figure out.
No, that's true. I agree. There's a lot of, you know, and at some point you've got to really take a hard look at Jason Light's drafts, you know, because Jason Light's been around as long as Jameis has, and this is a conversation that I was having earlier, but I mean, it starts with Jameis in 2015. Not that really he had any other choice to make because Mariota's also been terrible, but
he got benched today.
Mariota's time in Tennessee is done.
Yeah, Tannehill came in the second half.
Yep, it's over. And it might soon be over with Jameis Winston. I mean, you keep going down the line, though, drafting Vernon Hargraves at 11. He's been nowhere near worth the 11th overall pick. Drafting O.J. Howard at 19. I mean, we all talk about the potential of O.J. Howard, but at this
it's
point,
been absent.
Like at
There's
this point, I don't think that, I don't think that Arians is like not throwing him the ball or Leftwich not throwing him the ball out of like spite or stubbornness. Like, I think there might actually be a problem with O.J. not being able to separate or get open or.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily as athleticism because that's what he's talented for. We see his size.
Right,
we see his strength. We see his speed.
It ain't converting.
But the problems come with separating and catching the ball.
Right.
And that's what you have to do. It's like, yeah, his speed is great. His strength is great. But you know what that strength's being used to do? Block.
Yeah,
why?
And I mean,
because that's what he does best. And yeah, you don't want your number 19 pick in the draft to be a blocker unless he's the left tackle.
You know, look at the other drafts. Vita Vea in the first round. Okay, like I like Vita Vea for what he is. He's not making an impact. What's he doing? You know, he's not making a one-on-one impact. Yeah, I think he's helping to a greater whole. What are you drafting a piece player in the first round again? You know, where they drafted him. And then, of course, Devin White. I like Devin White a lot. I think he's a hell of a player. He's great, but he's a linebacker. He's a linebacker. And this team, then at the other spots, has refused to draft pass rushers under
Josh Allen had his fourth sack today. I think
they refused to draft defensive ends under Jason Light. The tackles have not been addressed. And then where they have spent a lot of capital in defensive back is the worst unit on the team. I mean, at some point you just got to take it. And it gets real interesting after that because, okay, well, if you take a good hard look at Jason and you go, look, his drafts and his player acquisitions have not been what they needed to be. Now, has he hit home runs? Yeah, absolutely. I think Kappa's going to be a great player. Obviously, getting Chris Godwin late in the draft. You got guys like Ali Marpet. I think Kendall Beck was turning into a good player. You know, he's made good moves later in the draft, but you got to hit on your first picks. You have to hit. You've just got to be able to do it, especially at a higher rate than the Bucks are for the impact that they're getting. And so once you start questioning whether Jason Light should or shouldn't be with the Bucks still anymore, how much does Arians then want to put up with a new GM? How much does Arians then want to put up with a new quarterback? I don't know. This is a guy that was teetering, you know, retirement, came out of retirement. Who knew how long he was going to be here anyways? It's a weird little
If the Bucks didn't have Jason Light, they don't get Bruce Arians.
Right, and so it's this big, giant catch-22. So is he willing to stay without? Right, you know?
But that's also the same situation with Jameis Winston. Like, Bruce Arians came to the Bucks because they had a quarterback set and ready to go with Jameis Winston.
Right. So and if they don't,
if you decide to move on from Jameis, why would Bruce Arians stay around either? So you almost have to keep Jameis to keep Bruce, but you also have to keep Jason Light to also keep Bruce Arians.
Yeah. It's a tough call. You know, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. They could really use a flare gun. Fire that bad boy up.
Yeah. Emergency.
If they needed a flare gun, where would they get one, though? Who the heck sells flare guns?
You know, there is a place actually in Tampa that sells flare guns.
Flare Gun Emporium.
This has been called, you know, slang. The street term of this place might be Mark Cook's Flare Gun Emporium. But I'm actually talking about the establishment's real name is T.A. Mahoney's, located in Tampa. They have all of your marine needs, not just flare guns. They got all kinds of stuff for your trailers, your boats, if you're going fishing, if you're going joyriding, however you like to enjoy the many bodies of water in the Tampa Bay area and even in the state of Florida. You can get whatever you're looking for at T.A. Mahoney's. They're your one-stop shop for everything nautical. How do you guys like that word? Throwing in the word nautical on the podcast.
Nautical. Love it.
Thought it was appropriate. Spiced up a little bit, you know. T.A. Mahoney's, they have been partners of the Peter Nation podcast for a long time. We really appreciate them, and they've been great to us whenever we've needed anything. I'm sure that they can be great to you guys as well. So if you have any water, marine, nautical needs – oh, nautical needs. Man, I'm on fire tonight. Head over to T.A. Mahoney's. They'll help you out. They'll get you exactly what you need. All right, boys. State of the franchise. How about that fair catch kick or the fair catch and then field goal?
Oh, yeah,
thing.
The free kick?
That was crazy.
Do you guys know that that rule existed?
I did not until it happened, but actually, it was a great idea by Ron Rivera.
Of course it was.
Well, why did he get that opportunity? Can we talk about that for a second?
Is there a greater story here?
Consecutive false start penalties on a punt.
Oh, my God, I know.
Three consecutive false start penalties from three different players on a punt attempt that allowed the Panthers to even take that kick.
Big yikes.
I've never seen that. We were watching, like Matt said, I'm very similar in a situation. I've followed the Bucks and USF football for a long time, so I have seen terrible football in my days. And we were just sitting there talking about what an ugly, ugly game it was, even compared to the football we've grown up watching. And then they false start three consecutive times on a punt attempt. That's wacko. That's
not
wild.
You know, that's just not exactly what you're looking for. All right, boys, before we get out of here, this team's got a bye week before they then go into Tennessee, which might no longer be Marcus Mariota versus Jameis Winston. As boring as that matchup would have sounded even before it went in. What are you looking for over the bye week? What do you want this team to do here at the bye week to kind of press the reset button and move on to bigger and better things of this season? What do they need to do you guys think? Taylor, I'll start with you.
I don't even know if I have an answer anymore because for 5 years, I've heard, everything Jameis could possibly say, whether that's coming off of wins, coming off of losses, coming off great play, coming off bad play, and things haven't changed much. Since Bruce Arians stepped into the building, we've heard everything he's had to say.
whether that's the secondary soft, whether that's accountability, whether that's the team expecting to be winners and not much has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, whether it's Dirk Cutter, Greg Schiano, Lovie Smith, we all kept saying different coaches, same thing, until Bruce Arians came in. I mean, he's a two-time coach of the year with a former head coach and AP assistant coach of the year on staff. And what's changed? The Bucks are 2-4, and Jameis Winston's turning the ball over six times. So I don't even know if I have an answer.
All hope is dead, according to Taylor. Matt, you got anything less bleak?
Yeah, I guess on the defensive side of the ball, that's nothing that technically you have to prepare for, but I guess just pray that Jason Pierre-Paul be ready to go by the time they go and play Tennessee the following week. On the offensive side of the ball, just make Ronald Jones the starting running back already.
There you go.
I get that they like to do this two-headed it's not even a monster, but you know, this 1-2 punch with Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones. But when Ronald Jones is in the game, he just provides a spark, and there's no other. Yeah, he's getting these good runs, but there's just something about when he's in the game, you just feel more confident when he's in the backfield there. Yeah. And I know in the second half the Bucs were trailing, so they had to throw the ball more. But Jameis Winston threw the ball 54 times in a game where you knew you were missing your right side of the offensive line. Mm-hmm. Why not shake it up a little bit and get Ronald Jones the ball more? I mean, that touchdown run he had, it was only like it was from first and goal from like 5 yards out or whatever. But even then, you know, he made a nice little shifty move to get into the end zone. I just think he could provide a little bit of a spark to help get this offense going just a little bit more. I mean, the offense has not looked good outside of the first half against the Giants and then their explosive game against the Los Angeles Rams.
What I am hoping that this team does, and something that they need to do, is that every single player on this team needs to look in the mirror. Here's what's going to happen. Either they're going to play well, or they're not going to play on this team next year. Bruce Arians did not come back to put up with this soft shit. And that is the point that I am hammering home to these players during the bye week. Take a good hard look at yourself. Because right now, a lot of these players have opportunities in starting roles of this team. If they do not perform, they will not be on this team next year. There is not time. He's not going to afford these guys the time to develop if they're not going to show him anything this year. There are so very few players on this team that I would say are irreplaceable. I would even say guys like O.J. Howard, they can trade him off if he's not doing what they need him to do. They will get things back for him. Cam Brate's contract, you can unload that immediately. Donovan Smith, they'll play somebody else to tackle if he can't get it done, although he's been fine. I'm just using him as an example. If DeMar Dotson can't get it done when he comes back, they'll replace him too. Every single cornerback on this team is expendable come this offseason if they can't get it done. If they continue to play the way that they do, every single one of them is expendable. Somebody's got to step up on the defensive line. And of course, obviously, comes down to Jameis Winston as well. Jameis Winston has the world at his fingertips. Okay? If he sets the world on fire here in the second half of this season, he could walk away and walk off into the sunset this offseason as potentially the richest quarterback in the NFL. And if not, he's going to have a whole lot of Buccaneers records, and he is still going to continue the streak of not having a second contract with this team. Every single player on this team has to take a look in the mirror and wonder how much they covet, desire, and want to keep their starting spot on this team, because I guarantee you this coaching staff ain't going to put up with it. No way. Every single player who does not perform to the way that this team wants them to is going to be out. The list of players that are irreplaceable is so small, and I guarantee you they will blow it all up this offseason if they can't play. And especially if they show up in the couple of games that they've gotten blown out, the couple of games the Bucs have looked miserable this year, if those players continue to give them that result, they'll all be gone. They'll start over. Bruce is not going to have it. I know he didn't come back out of retirement to rebuild, but he didn't come back to coach a bunch of guys who can't make it either. And he's going to figure out how to make it happen. And they're going to get real savage with these roster moves if these guys can't man up and get it done.
So you couldn't have said it any better, man. I mean, the Bucks beat themselves. And the accountability
Bucks
sheet that,
Bucks.
Yeah. And the accountability sheet that Bruce Arians has, I'm sure it's a long, long list this week.
Yep, you're correct. Boys, I think we nailed it as the threesome, the menage a trois.
The millennial power hour.
Oh, dude, see, why didn't you say that? Why didn't you say it at the beginning? God.
Well, I said the millennial three-way or whatever I said.
I mean, that was great, though. You should have said that at the beginning.
Damn.
I guess you're
a fourth quarter guy.
I guess you're a clutch guy. You know, maybe you can you play quarterback? Maybe you can do a little bit better with your back against the wall. I'm kidding. Everybody calm down.
I can't. I might not throw five picks.
Well, later this week, I think. Maybe. Maybe not because it's bye week. I'm not sure. Might be a week from now when you guys will get your next Pewter Nation podcast. Hopefully all of us will be together again, a little bit less mobile. Safe travels to Scott and Mark. Oh, big shout out. Almost forgot. To our friends at Ford Garage. They have been feeding the boys over at Pewter Report for a long time. They can feed you, too. They've got a lot of great drink specials. They've got a killer happy hour. They've got awesome nachos. Taylor can attest to it.
Absolutely. They've got Taylor Truly on Draft.
Taylor, they do have Truly on Draft, which is really weird. I'd probably stay away from Truly's on Draft because it's like a flat seltzer.
That might have been a bad day. So I might have to go back there and try it again.
Okay. All right. If you go back, let me know. But
I will.
To everybody else, the food is fantastic. The burgers are some of the best burgers you can find in the Tampa Bay area. They got a ton of different locations. Go do yourself a favor during the bye week. Take a step back, calm down a little bit, enjoy a nice burger, wash it down with a nice beer and think, okay, here we go. Hit the reset button just like this team is going to hit the reset button. All right. Have a good time. Enjoy Ford's Garage meal. It's a great place to watch a lot of other football if you're doing that during the week and get some good grub. Have some good company. Boys, appreciate it. Appreciate you guys helping me out, carrying the load while our bosses lollygagged their way back from England. Thought
Absolutely.
It was a good show,
though. It was a blast.
Yeah.
This was a lot of fun. We should do it again sometime.
You know, maybe we should strategically plan Scott and Mark being out more often.
Maybe next or as
Mark says, they're suspended. So they'll be back
Mark
from suspension.
Suspended. We forgot to mention that at the beginning.
But that's true. That's how it happened. All right, for Taylor Jenkins, Matt Matera, I'm Trevor Sikkema. Thanks for tuning in to the Pewter Nation podcast. We'll be back with you, I think, in a week. We'll hit the reset button just like this team is, and we'll see you next time.
Out.
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 72hourprint.com is the official print partner of PewterReport.com. For printing signage and apparel needs, contact our partners at 888-72-HR-PRINT or 72hourprint.com. That's 72hrprint.com.